You're listening to an episode of the Abigail Pugh podcast with, you guessed it, Abigail Pugh. I'm an introverted mama who took my online business from 0 to 7 figures in 15 months selling my own digital products on social media. And guess what? I did it all with my 3-year-old daughter no less than 3 feet away from me at all times. Now I'm bringing you everything I've learned about building a wildly profitable online business that supports your life while allowing you to truly live it. Get ready for raw, honest conversations with entrepreneurs making thousands per month selling their own digital products and people just like you who ditch self-doubt to create the life they've always wanted. If you're ready to make more money, have more impact, and still have time for the things that matter most, you're in the right place. Grab your sneakers, head out on your hot girl walk, and let's dive in.
Today's guest is probably the funniest person I've ever met. If you listened to last week's episode, you might remember that I mentioned making friends at the event I spoke at, and today's guest is actually one of them. Not only is she hilarious, she is known on the digital streets as the heartbeat behind the Instagram account No Shame Sales Game. She is a best-selling author, a digital authenticity expert, and a self-made millionaire who helps entrepreneurs like you and me build scalable, sustainable brands and businesses online. I mean, that's probably the sexiest intro I've ever done. Colleen, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. Glad you got through that intro.
You guys, if you didn't know, I usually have my guests send over like their bios of how they want to be introduced. And this was probably the best one ever. You have it like down to a T what you do. I struggle with mine all the time. So
it's the worst thing ever to write.
Seriously. I have like 3 different versions and I hate them all. So
yeah,
yours is awesome.
Hey, thanks. Glad you like it. Yeah.
And you guys, Colleen and I became very fast friends.
Yeah.
As I was recording this intro, she's standing there with her notebook and her middle finger out at me trying to make me laugh while I'm recording it. So
this is not going to, there's no way we're going to be able to get through this without like laughing a lot.
It's going to be a good episode. It's okay. Every episode, I literally like laugh my way through it. I'm like, people don't want sterile and boring.
No, they don't. No.
God, I want to hear how people actually talk. So now, okay, I know that you used to be in network marketing and now you have kind of pivoted out of that. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and your journey to where you are now?
Yes. Okay. So it started, let's go to like 2016. I'll make it fast. But like I had a toddler and I was 5 months pregnant and I was a stay-at-home mom, and I got a phone call from my husband one Friday and he said, I just got fired. And I was like, are you joking? This is not good. This is cool, fine. I'm not gonna have a panic attack or anything. So he lost his job and I was pregnant and we didn't have any income. And so I was like, I need to find a way to make money online without like, you know, having to leave, because childcare is
expensive.
So gross. So anyway, I saw this girl doing network marketing and I had never met her in real life, but she was really pretty and she was like, oh my gosh, this is what I do. And I literally, like DM'd her and I was like, I love the stuff that you're doing, but like between you and I, is it real? Like, are you actually making money? Like, I won't tell anyone if it's not, but just, and she's like, no, I actually am. And so I was like, okay. So I started in network marketing. January of 2017, I got to the top 2% of the company's comp plan in my first 90 days, earned the car, earned the stage recognition.
Damn, girl.
The free trips. It really did change the trajectory of my life. I love what network marketing did. But around 2020, I had my third son in March of 2020. And so we were just kind of stuck at home and people on the internet were wild. And the company that I was with had a collaboration with another billion-dollar brand that was not in the network marketing space. And we were also excited about it. It was a big deal, like 2 female-owned billion-dollar brands collaborating. So great. We bought all the stuff and then it launched. And within minutes, the brand that was not network marketing, like in the comments, everyone was like, oh my God, I'm never buying from this company again. Like, you guys, they're hey huns, like they're predatory. Like, I can't believe you partnered with network marketing. Within hours, that billion-dollar brand pulled out of the collaboration, like publicly. And I was like, holy shit. Like, and a lot of my friends were so upset. And for me, I was like, this is such a massive opportunity to like change the way that this industry is done. And I don't want to change anyone's mind that like network marketing. Like, if you think it sucks, cool. I don't need to get into debate about it. But obviously, the people in there need to change how they're showing up and doing things. Yeah. So I took it upon myself to teach about network marketing rather than just do it. So that's kind of how that pivot started.
I love it. And you guys, I will share one of the reels in the comments, but she has this like persona, which I just made the connection that this is her, but she has this persona named Janet, and she wears, I'm going to paint this hilarious picture for you. She wears like earphones that are not plugged in, and she has a pen that's like the mouthpiece, and she takes calls from people who are like doing silly things in network marketing, and she tells them like what they're doing wrong. It is, I'll link one of the videos in the show notes, you guys. It's the funniest thing ever, but
she
is so funny. And I literally just today made the connection that that was her, because she doesn't only teach about network marketing anymore. She teaches all about like digital products. Do you still work with network marketers?
Oh yeah. I really think because like network marketing gets such a bad rap a lot of the times, network marketers will always have a seat at whatever table that I'm doing for digital marketing and solopreneurs and entrepreneurial ventures, because it really did change my life. And I think they deserve to be at the table. So while it's not solely network marketers anymore, I definitely still work with network marketers.
And now what are you doing now? I mean, I know what you're doing, but tell us what you're doing.
I don't know actually what I'm doing. I was telling Abigail before this call, my whole day has been like so messed up. I've screwed up so many things already. But what am I doing now? I have a community where I teach digital marketers how to build sustainable, scalable brands and businesses online. So it's really working with anyone in the digital marketing space, because that's where it's at.
I love that. And okay, she wrote a book, which you guys, I recommend this book in, I don't remember where I recommend it. I think it's my starter kit. It's called Don't Make It Weird. I love it. It's very practical. I feel like all the business entrepreneur books out there are written by men.
Yes.
I do think like there's still a lot to learn from them. Like Alex Hormozi's book, $100 Million Offer. I love that book. I think it's great. But a lot of like long-term stuff that he teaches in it doesn't apply to women, right? Because we are not like men in that, like, we have a cycle, right? Where there are different times of the month where, like, we need to be doing different things, where a man's, like, hormone cycle resets literally every day.
Every 24 hours, yeah.
Do the same thing every single day and be fine. And women just can't do that. So sometimes I feel like the business and the entrepreneur books written by men just, like, aren't fully applicable to us as women. So tell us a little about your book. I love it. It's so good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think it really, everything that you just said, like every business book that I've written, now when I feel like I'm saying good things about my book, it's like when a bride says like, you'll wear this bridesmaid's dress again. It's really great. It's beautiful. I'm like, no, I don't know. It's just like any other book they're going to read. I've just taken my approach to showing up online, which I've been able to create the business that I have without ads or without ClickFunnels or anything like that, by leveraging human connection. So yeah. I've really broken it down to the like equation of that.
Yeah.
And it's very, I really hate reading books that like I read it and I'm like, oh, this is great, but then I don't do anything.
Yeah.
So I really tried to like make it have like workbook stuff throughout. Yeah. So like you could read a portion and then like, okay, but now go do this and then read the next part. So if anyone, it's The Entrepreneur's Guide to Being Human on the Internet. If you're on the internet, you need
read this book.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
She literally has pages where it's like, go create this story and try this today and like see how people resonate with it. And that's another thing. Like most books don't have that. Most books are like, they teach you what to do, but they don't teach you how to apply it, because I feel like people are afraid that like, oh, my book's not going to be relevant in 5 years. But I'm like, being human on the internet is always going to be relevant.
Yeah. I mean, it won't be relevant in 5 years. I mean, being human on the internet will be, but like, I knew that going into it in 5 years or even 2 years, like there's going to be different platforms and different things and like stuff that we can't even imagine right now.
Yeah.
But part of the thing that I talk about is that if you master that art of being the human, a human on the internet, that transcends the app or the trends or whatever. Yep. So you can adapt quickly.
Yep. And honestly, you just set yourself up to write sequels. Now, when something else comes out and you perfect it, we'll have the sequel.
Yeah, we'll have the sequel. Great. Great. Thanks.
I'm always curious, is it profitable to write a book? Like, what is that like?
Oh, God, no. people feel like, oh, my God, do you write a book? Like, I don't even think I'm not profitable yet. I've made money, but it costs me money to like hire the people. And I think in my mind, I was like, oh, you write a book and somebody gives you a book advance and like you go write a book on the coast of Maine or something like that. And like, it's beautiful. That's not how it happens. You like have to be signed. But I didn't want to self-publish because I thought it would never get done. And then I did worked with a hybrid agency. So that costs a lot of money. And you have to sell a lot of books to make a lot of money. So
yeah, which you do sell a lot of books.
I do sell a lot of books, but it's more like a leveraging tool and like a, I did it to position myself.
Yep. And it's in your bio now, best-selling author. Like that's a pretty hard sell on someone like, oh, they're trustworthy. They're a best-selling author. You can't like, you can't make that up. You can fake a lot of stuff on the internet. But you cannot fake that, which let's dive into that a little bit. You guys, we found out something over the weekend while we were at this event, and it is like, it's sickening.
I'm like so upset.
Okay. So if you guys are on Threads, there's like Threads is the place to be if you like to kind of like lurk and see like what people are talking about.
Yeah.
And someone posted, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, that there is Stripe and Standstore like fake generators. So people who are selling, you know, either MRR courses or just their courses.
Yeah.
They are generating like fake income claims and fake screenshots of things to make sales before they have sales. And I'm like, what?
Like it's beyond like unethical and immoral. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Like it's illegal. Like
it's literally illegal.
And that's why I'm like, after having these conversations, I was like, oh, I have so much material now to just like go in on it. Like it's,
you already have two posts about it.
Yeah. And like, I'm just like, what's so prevalent? And I'm just like, what the heck?
So I want to hear your opinion on if someone does do like revenue-based marketing, which I know that has become very popular, especially with MRR, which if you guys don't know what MRR is, it's just master resale rights. And essentially you're buying a course with the rights to resell it. And a lot of people are taking advantage and marketing in a very sleazy way. I'm not saying everybody who does MRR is.
No.
It's never like a blanket statement with these things. But there just are a lot of people who are marketing in a not good way. So if someone has felt like, okay, revenue-based marketing is the only thing I could do, can you give us some examples for how they can market in a different way that is ethical?
I mean, I don't. So like in my thing, like when you read the bio, I like to say that I'm a self-made millionaire because I really do enjoy women talking about money because I want to normalize women making money. I want more women making more money. But
I mean, your last photo shoot, she literally had a gun with money shooting out of it and eating cake with money all over the table. Like this girl loves talking about money.
I love money. And like, that's why I get so pissed off when you have like posers coming into the conversation. Cause I'm like, now you're messing it up for the rest of us.
Yeah.
So I think that, better ways to do it. I mean, you do it so well with talking about like the wins that your clients have.
Yeah.
But if you don't have those wins yet, then I think you just need to become like kind of a thought leader and build a community around what you think needs to be done and like changes or like, if you do this, then you should do that. Or this will be the outcome. If you do this, like you have to earn your place.
Yeah.
And you know, come up with good ideas and educate and entertain people. And that's value. You don't have to say, I made $12,000 in 6 minutes to like sound cool.
And I think that you can share your revenue or however you want to do it, like with it being more storytelling. Like before it was like the thing to do and before MRR was even a thing, like I shared my journey with digital products because I was a content creator and like not a lot of content creators were selling digital products. So I was like, you guys, this is really cool. Like, let me take you along for the ride. And honestly, like I'm very close with Stan. If anyone wanted to like check that I was saying what I'm actually making, like, go ahead, like check with Stan. I was the first person on Stan to hit $1 million in revenue. And like, they came out, they flew to my house. They like sent an email out of it. Isn't that cool? I know.
That's so cool.
I know. They came out, they brought a cake, balloons. They like videoed it, interviewed me. It was the sweetest thing ever. Like they are the best. But I used to use revenue a lot more in my marketing because like I was telling the story and conversational. And now I like don't want to use it because I don't want to be lumped in with the people that are promoting easiness, right? Like I promote that starting is the hardest part and that like, yes, there is a lot of work in the beginning and it gets to be easy later on, but that is not the beginning. And I've always been open that like passive income isn't passive. Like, no. You have to actively sell your passive products. The passive just comes after the fact when, like, they bought the product and then you don't have as much to do anymore, right? And so I feel like I always shared my journey, and now I've really strayed away from that because I don't want to be lumped in with everyone else. I like being a thought leader. I like doing things my way. So now I really lean into, like, my students' results more, mm-hmm. showing that, like, it doesn't just work for me. It also works for, I think I'm at almost 12,000 students now, which is crazy.
Unreal.
So I feel like more people need to lean into how they are, you know, getting student results. And that's how I'm using this podcast too. I mean, my most popular episode so far, which I'm sure yours will probably be popular too. My most popular ones are where I've interviewed my students and asked them questions of how they've done it. And it's so thrilling to, like, see yourself in other people, right? And not just the person you're buying from, but seeing yourself in, like, other moms and other women who have been in situations that you've been in. I think that type of marketing has so much more longevity to it than, like, oh, I made $1 million, like, comment this to learn how. And I'm like, I love ManyChat, but, like, you got to give them a little bit more.
Gag me.
It can't just be like, oh, I made money in my sleep. I'm like, yeah, okay, but what'd you do for the 2 years before? Like, I can say that now in my marketing, but I always have disclaimers saying, like, you guys, this is my day, whatever, like, year two. Don't compare my year two to your year one or day one. Like,
yeah, but you've earned the right. I think that I had a friend tell me once that if you're going to show the Ferrari moments, you have to show the Ford moments.
Yep.
And I take that so seriously. So I always share, like, when something is hard for me, or I fail at something, or I started because I wanted to make $500 a month. Like, that's literally what got me into this whole space, the desire, the hope that one day I could make $500 a month. So, like, you have to share the humble part of the journey and the trying if you're going to share, like, the outcome. Like, that's the only way to do it. And I think most people are afraid to show the start because it's ugly and it's
messy.
Messy. It's so messy. And honestly, I think that it's also messy.
Yeah.
It's still messy for me. Like, like I was telling you, like, today has been messy. There are messy days, even when you're successful and you do stuff. So I don't want to say, like, oh, it's not messy. It's always hard.
It's, like, forever messy, and you have those high moments, but then you also have the low moments, and it never goes away. And it feels like, for me personally, like, when my business is, like, flowing and doing amazing, like, my home life is a shit
show. I knew that's what you're going to say. Yes.
Cool. Awesome. Like, Charlie lost her mind yesterday. My husband was, like, frustrated with how many dishes there were. Like, I come home and, like, everyone's upset. And then when home life is, you know, I mean, it's never perfect, obviously. If you have kids, you know that there's no, like, perfection baseline or anything. But there are times where they're, like, flowing a little bit more.
Yes.
And I'm like, cool. I didn't make as many sales as I usually did. And I'm just learning to, like, let go of the fact that, like, nothing is ever going to be perfect all around, and there's going to be ebbs and flows. And now I've kind of, like, worked that into my business. Like, during summer, I don't worry about sales as much. And, like, I still hit sales every day. Like, my goal has been no $0 days, right? Like, that is my thing. That's what I teach my students, because I like those dopamine hits.
Yes.
They really help my energy and help me serve people better. But, like, I'm not worried about making, like, $2,000, $3,000 a day right now, because I'm in my summer mode and I'm, like, priming for something else that's coming. And I don't know, it lets off so much stress. Like, I used to have a goal of, like, $2,000 to $3,000 a day, and it would, like, send me into such high stress levels on the days that I didn't hit it.
Yes.
And so now just having this plan of, like, okay, no $0 days. And then obviously, like, I work towards what I want. And if I need to push a little bit harder to hit my goals, I will. But just not having that pressure to be perfect all the time and, like, make $100,000 every month, like, that'd be great. Yeah, but it doesn't always happen. And I think it was not last month, but the month before, I'd set my goal for, like, $100,000, and I was, like, $40,000 short. Like, I didn't hit it.
I so appreciate stuff like that, though. Like, it's Instagram has become, like, I honestly have a visceral reaction when I get on Instagram, because I'm like, everyone is just talking about how much money they're making and how great their life is. And it is, that's a way to stand out right there. I had a goal and I didn't hit it. Yep. People are going to pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
I loved that post, actually.
Oh, thank you. I was so nervous to post it, because you get in your head, like, I'm an expert and I didn't hit my goals. But I'm like, when I think about it, I respect people who share the, like you said, like the Ford and the Ferrari, right? You can't just share the end goal. Yes, like my marketing does do like, you know, selling the dream or selling the life that people want to live and getting out of like the grind of a 9-to-5 if they want to. But like, it wasn't always like that. And it's still not always like that. I mean, we went to the lake a few weeks ago and like my content on my feed looks like really nice. Like we were having this great lake trip and everyone was teasing me about my socks. And I'm like, you guys, it's like 50 degrees. The water's freezing. My child is angry because it's cold. She doesn't want to be here. All she wants to do is go in our hotel room. Like it's not a great time right now.
No. Anytime a parent is traveling with offspring, it's not a vacation.
Offspring.
Parenting. Like
you're parenting in a different location.
Yeah, it's so hard. Oh my God.
I love that. Okay, if you could give, so Colleen's big thing is teaching people how to be human on the internet, which
right.
you are very natural at it now, but like in the beginning, I can guarantee if you guys scroll back to the beginning of her feed, she probably wasn't as natural. Like when I was looking,
speaking for yourself, Abigail.
When I was looking for that old video, like you didn't talk the way you do now, like very comfortably and yourself in the beginning. And you guys, I always encourage you to like go to people that you love who are like, these are the best content creators. Like they do such a good job. Scroll to the beginning. Okay.
No, Abigail, don't tell them to do that.
I love it. It makes people realize that like
everyone starts somewhere.
Yes. You guys, I told this story on another one of the podcasts, but when I first started TikTok, somebody told me that you need to have movement in the videos. And I was like, okay. So I'm sitting outside. Charlie's taking her nap. I literally grabbed colored pencils and was like playing with them in my hands. Cause I'm like, I don't know. What kind of movement do I need? Right. And, like I didn't know about like the camera placement, all the tricks that I know now.
Yeah.
I did not know then. And I still grew my audience to what it is today. I still grew my community to what it is today. Like everyone is cringe in the beginning.
Everyone's cringe. And like, I think I would love to like, because I say the same thing, like this was so cringe or this, but like, it's actually not cringe. Because when I see somebody doing it and they're starting, I'm like, hell yes.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it. Like whatever that cringe is, I'm like, you're doing it and it's going to work because I you're the one who's showing up and doing it. So.
There's this trend on TikTok right now, and it's the one where it's the, you like put five fingers up and you hold it in the screen, right? And you like put a finger down and then you tell your story and like all the dramatic parts of your story. And I did it in my Rich Girl Reels. I did like a 5-day challenge for them. And it's so fun to see people like opening up. And are their reels perfect? No, mine isn't even perfect. This is a hard trend to do because you like tell your story in like one long breath. And then at the end, you put the one finger down and then everyone's kind of waiting to see like, is this their story? Is this somebody else's story? And it's so fun, but just like seeing everyone post and a lot of them are saying like, oh, I'm so nervous. Like this totally sucks. And I go and I watch, I'm like, dude, this is amazing. And I see that like they have no other talking head videos on their page. This is like one of their first ones and just like trying new things. I love watching people try new things and just like be not great at something before they become great at it. Like it's so much fun to watch.
That's the only way to do it.
Yes.
There's no shortcut to this kind of, you know, success or greatness or whatever. Like you literally have to do it. You can't like study and behind the scenes and think your way into it. Like you have to take action.
Yeah. I know for me that I do a lot more like B-roll and stuff like that just because I've had a lot of health issues where I'm like not able to show up and talk. And like, I love talking head videos and getting a little bit more, you know, personal with people, but I've been detoxing from mold for the past year or longer probably now, but it's just been a lot. So like my capacity hasn't been there. And I know you're like the opposite. You guys, if you go to Colleen's page, she's almost hardly any trends, mostly talking head videos, and you have a really good series. How would you recommend people like find a series to do?
I honestly let my life create the content, right? So like I had a series recently called You Shut Up and...
Of course you did.
Yes. And of course I did. And I didn't shut up. So somebody sent me a video of this person who like drinks their own urine. And I was like, that's really crazy. Yeah, I know. And I did a story about it. And I was like, guys, if this person can like talk about how they drink their own urine, surely you can like shut up. Like you can do it. And that's how I talk. I will always say like, shut up. So anyway, my DMs got crazy about it. And I was like, oh, this is something.
Yeah.
So then I made it into a reel. And then I just kept being sent and then being fed just weird things. And so I would be like, okay, two words. I don't know. I won't say it because I don't want to get in trouble. But like, it's weird stuff. And that was my life. Literally, I didn't have the idea because I was like, oh, I'm going to whatever. Yeah. Same with Janet. Like I, one of my kids was like, had their headphones and I was just playing around and I was like, oh, 911. I was like, oh, that could be funny. So I try not to think so much. Mm. Every time I try to like think about being creative, it sucks.
Yeah.
So that's how I come up with series. Yeah.
I feel like series happen on accident, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like you try different reels and you try and make sure that it's something that you could replicate in like a slightly different way. Obviously, yes. Like Day in the Life, those are kind of not generic, but like you do had to add a twist to them, right? But like Day in the Life videos, you could keep doing over and over and over again because you have a different day every single day, right? And you do different things.
They're so hard though.
Oh, they just take so much time.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I try and then I get to like 9 a.m. and I'm like, forget that.
Well, you have to do everything twice to set your camera up. Like that's the hard part for me is that I'm like, okay, I'm walking to my bed. I'm walking right to the kitchen. And you just have to like set everything. It makes everything take so much longer. So I like to do like small chunks of the day, right? Yes. So I just made one last week that was like, come to my co-working space with me because I can't get anything done at home because my child is there and yes. my husband and they need me every 5 minutes. So I did, you know, like an hour of my day. And that was easy yes. for me.
That's easy.
But yeah, I love series, but you guys have to give them like, you have to give them like your own spin. Like it can't just be like a day in the life. No, a day in the life of what? Like, what are you doing? And add like your spin on it. So I think those are a lot of fun.
Yes. I just want people to like, yes, look at a trend. Yes, do whatever. But like, honestly, at the same time, like just stop trying. Yeah. I don't know. Just stop trying to be something. And like, truly, I kind of treat my Instagram like a stream of consciousness. Like I see something and I'm like, oh, what do we think about that? Yep. I don't think so much about it.
Yeah. And Colleen definitely sells more in her stories than she does yeah. in her reels because her product is a digital product, but it's a community and you buy like a year's worth of access, mm-hmm. right? So it's $365 a day. So that's something that she like nurtures people more. So her reels definitely are more like outreach and like mm-hmm. finding new people, nurturing her current audience. And then she sells more in stories, which it's always so fun to see like how successful
people do it.
Like, do it differently. Like, I love it. Like some people will come to me and they're like, I don't sell at all on social. It's all email. And I'm like, I'm the opposite. I nurture an email and connect and then sell on social. And like, I love it. It just works for me. But it's so cool to see how it's like different for every person.
When you pay attention. But it's so funny because where we're sitting, of course, that's how we're viewing it. But most people don't view it that way. And yeah. so it's just, and I'm like, oh, most people don't study like how she's selling versus how yeah. she's selling. But I love paying attention to it. It's so
I forget
fun.
That people don't have like the reverse engineer brain.
Right.
Like, my mom's always like, how did you think to get there? I'm like, duh, I saw the outcome and I worked backwards and I got there. Like someone made a reel the other day. I can't remember who it was, but she was saying like every post I reverse engineer, I know the outcome that I want them to do. And then I make the reel. And I'm like, doesn't everybody do that? Like, is that not how people's brains work? And I was like, wow, I need to be more clear about that. Cause that's how I do. I'm like, what am I selling today? Right. Do I want to promote my podcast? Do I want to promote engagement? Do I want to promote a product? Right. And then yep. I create my reel working backwards so that I position the product as the, yes. you know, the solution to their problem.
Yes.
And my husband was like, yeah, people don't think that way. And I was like,
What?
Wow. Who knew?
Who knew? It is. It's so weird because, and I also think when creating digital, that like kind of segueing into digital products, I think that a lot of people think like, oh, I'm good at this. So everyone's good at this.
Yep.
I think this way. Everyone thinks this way. So I couldn't possibly monetize it because yeah. everyone thinks that. But like, this is a great example of like, most people don't think the way that you think, or they're not good at things that you're good at.
Right. And it's so much fun to like create products and have those light yes. bulb moments for them. I don't know. I love getting DMs from people. They're like, you simplify it so much. And I was like,
yes.
I just thought it was common knowledge, but it's not. And like, there's always that one person that's like, I already knew all of this. I'm like, then why did you
shut up, Karen?
Beginning course on this.
God. I can't.
I know.
That could be a whole nother episode.
That's not like productive mm-mm. feedback. I love feedback from people, but it's hard yes. when it's just like, I didn't like it. I'm like, okay, what did you not like about it? Like, how can I make it better? I don't know. I just didn't like it. I'm like,
great.
Helpful. Don't
Thanks,
really
Vanessa.
Know how to help you.
Yeah.
Ooh, Vanessa.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the first thing that came to mind.
Okay. Three things people can do to be more human on the internet. Ready, set, go.
Oh, geez.
No pressure.
Oh, gosh.
Like, I want tactical. I don't want like, I want like
love
tangible.
Tactical.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No. Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love. Okay, three things. Be more human on the internet. I want you in your stories on video speaking to people every single day. Boom. So like every day you have to be in there telling me something. I also want you to position yourself as a recommendation resource. This is like what friends do. If I'm looking for something, I'm going to ask my friend, hey, what under eye cream do you use? Hey, where did you get that shirt? Whatever. So I sell a lot of what I make money off of because I'm constantly recommending things. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I bought this cup. I bought this necklace. I bought whatever. I want you also recommending something to your people and saying like, this is what you need. Because when you do that and they buy it and they like it, you've solidified, oh, she's legit. And they've opened their wallet psychologically to you. And then the third thing is that I would also, and again, you're going to be like, Colleen, man, my story is too much. Nay. I want you in your stories. And I also want you asking for recommendations. I want you saying, where am I getting this? What are you watching? What are you eating? What do you think? If you can Google it, I want you to ask it in your stories, unless it's like, is this chlamydia? Like, don't do that. But like, see your doctor. But like, if like, you know, what is like everyone watching? So then it becomes you're creating engagement. Like they're talking to you. You've also neutralized the selling, like the weirdness, because they're telling you, oh, this is where I bought these shoes or this. So you're selling back and forth. So I would get in your stories every day and you're talking. I want you recommending something. I would, you know, a couple times a week, and I want you asking for recommendations. Those are the three things. And then by doing that, you create a conversational tone and you really do establish your tone of voice and you feel comfortable and you feel like, I know who I'm talking to now. So that makes you not so weird.
Yeah. I mean, perfect example of this. The necklace Colleen is wearing is by Made by Mary. And I was looking for like a dainty little gold necklace. This is not the one. I have like a really dainty one. And she shared about that. And I was like, oh, I need to go look at this company. Because a lot of the time they're either like really cheap and they break easily, which I have a toddler. Mm-hmm. So I needed something a little sturdy. And I went, it was affordable and I loved it. And I ordered it. Right. And so now like I trusted Colleen a little bit more. I mean, I don't fully trust her
yet. Yeah, I don't really trust Abigail at all.
But it like made me trust her even more. And like when I met her in person, she had these earrings that I'm not going to say it, but they said the F word on her earrings. And I was like, dude, send me the link. I need those earrings. My child can't read yet. I need those. Yeah. It's hilarious. And things like that. And you really just like feel connected to this person. And it's not influencer marketing, right? Like that's totally different, but it kind of is. You're like,
it's attraction marketing.
Yes. You're literally like sharing the things you love, then they're going to buy it. They're going to love that thing. They're going to have a positive connotation with you. And then they're gonna be like, oh, the next thing I buy from her, I'm also going to have a positive connotation with her, which
and it might be your digital product. Yes. So like that's why we do it. So those are the three things.
I love it. Now, if people wanted to learn from you, where can they find you? We will link everything below, but what is the best way for people to learn from you and enter your sassy world?
Yes. I mean, come hang out on Instagram. That's free at No Shame Sales Game. And then I have a community called, what is it called? Digital Sales Growth Community. And that's where we have, you know, coaching calls and trainings and resources and things like that.
She's downplaying it. It's amazing. It is. It's just, if you're someone that constantly wants to be learning, which I think everyone should be. This resource is amazing. It is filled with just so many different areas from experts. Like she has guest experts in there. And I think it's way better than a course because like when you need something, I'm almost positive there will be a training on it in her community.
There is.
And I love it. She like shared a screenshot the other day and it was so cool. She had like sections for different types of people. So like people who had kids, people who don't had kids, people who like this or that. And there's like different spots in the community for those people to like talk and connect. And I was like, that's so genius. I love that because, you know, someone who's a mom and who has three kids is not going to be able to do the same thing as a single person who, you know, doesn't work full time and they have all the time in the world to do everything. Right. So it's hard to like relate to people as much that aren't in a similar situation as you. So I loved that.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, it is like, I say it's a community, but then I feel like that's a dumb word because like then you just think like, oh, we're just coming to hang out. It's like it's a resource hub, but I do want people like it's so cool when members like they meet up and they like tag me like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't know so and so without them. I'm like, hi.
Love that.
But yeah, it's super cute.
Okay, you guys, Thank you so much for listening today. I will tag all of the things we talked about. I know it was a lot in the podcast show notes, and I will see you next week.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me and my guest today. If you learned anything from our episode, I would love it if you could share it over on your Instagram stories and tag me at Abigail Pugh. Until next time, love you, mean it.